Thank you very much. On behalf of a huge number of investigators across the health sciences, bioengineering, computer science, engineering, and especially pharmacy and pharmaceutical science, very happy that we can get the opportunity to present today to really highlight the area of metabolomics and engineering. I put up this slide here of a happy baby at birth. We can all relate to the wonderful, joyous experience of seeing a healthy baby. But we have so little knowledge about what is really normal health and understanding the physiology of it. And there's a tremendous synergy approach here with Todd Coleman in engineering and Mary Harbert in neonatology, where they've come together and brought together devices to study the normal birth. And we're going to be working with them to look at the physiology and the biochemistry of a normal birth. And there's also an example with Dilip Jesty looking at healthy aging at the other end of the spectrum. So once we amass this data set, we can then start applying it to the patients who need it for care right now and to develop tools and ways of understanding what's going on with patients as soon as they're born and at every stage of their life. And as a personal example, my sister had twins, and at 24 weeks gestation, they were premature. One of them survived and one of them didn't, and we still have no clue as to why one made it and one didn't. And if we can start using the technology we have to bear, we can solve these problems. So there are huge areas of omics that you're all well aware of to apply to this individual, to any patient that we're interested in. Obviously, genomics, epigenetics, transcriptomics, proteomics are very well studied, and it's a huge data that's coming out of it. Yesterday evening, I was attending a Scripps lecture with Patrick Xu-Xian, who talked about genomics combined with proteomics and computer engineering to develop new cancer care treatments and starting to find new therapies for pancreatic cancer and showing some very impressive results. So that's happening right now, and we need to move very quickly to get into this space. But an area that's not as well defined throughout the country is on the other side of the circle, metabolomics, the microbiome, imaging, and the physiome. And if we can put all of this together, we can really connect the circle. So why here at UCSD? We're actually blessed to maybe be one of the few places on the planet that has incredible expertise in so many areas, starting with the clinical side in epidemiology, as Karen just talked about. We had some great recruits in this area. On the technical mass spec side, we have incredible personnel, and Peter's going to be talking a little bit about that. In addition, Ed Dennis is one of the leaders in the lipidomic field, and we have Bill Nyhan here, who essentially started metabolomics and inborn errors of metabolism over 30 years ago. Plus, we have tremendous expertise in computational mass spec and device development, so we can translate that knowledge very quickly into instrumentation and making sense out of it. And plus, in network analysis and systems biology, we can take all of this data together, make sense out of it, apply it in basic biology, and bring it back to the patient. So this can actually be done, and this is a keg map of the biochemical knowledge that we have. It's very complicated, but with the prism of metabolomics, we can actually take this data, identify important metabolites that are present and significantly different using the biostatisticians that we work with in a complicated disease state such as diabetic kidney disease. And then by using bioinformatic approaches with Trey Eidecker's Cytoscape technology linking metabolites to proteins, we can actually identify specific targets where we can develop drug discovery by connecting two metabolites together with an enzyme. And that could be a new target for drug discovery. So we can all do all of this right now. And one of the issues that we've understood is the interaction between developing metabolites and drugs with the microbiome and how we need to know both parts of it. So I'd like to have Peter talk a little bit more about that.
So one of the things that's emerging is that we're becoming to realize that we're not really human after all, and microbes in the environment have a significant impact on human health. And so if you look at a given person, it's not really made up of human cells, but also microbial cells and environmental or molecules and environmental molecules. And these really drive the definition of health and the balance of health and disease in a given person. And so one of the things that we need is we need to have tools that can look at single cell level, but all the way to global population level. And this is comes back to a driving force that the first speaker really mentioned, Geert, that we have all these omics technologies to be able to analyze it. But in reality, we're drowning in data, and we are not able to analyze this very thoroughly. And so what we are sort of proposing is that we develop solutions to both big data analysis, but also develop new technologies to be able to capture the molecules. And what that allows you to do, it allows you to develop new diagnostic solutions. Of course, we're familiar with glucose, insulin, cholesterol monitoring, but you can monitor a whole repertoire of inflammatory lipids. You monitor a whole repertoire of different types of molecules depending on the disease states. You can begin to think about personalized treatments based on the host status, but also the environmental status. You know, we all sometimes get tired and a little bit queasy when it's, you know, when it starts to rain outside in San Diego. That can have an impact on how you respond to drugs and such. You can use the big data actually to uncover biology, and you really need good statistics to be able to uncover the new biology. You can stratify patients. One example would be that you would group not based on how you respond to medication, good or bad, but that you have different types of classifications of responses. So you have a group that responds that has this type of response and a different type of response. And we need to be able to map this. The other thing that is emerging is really these are tools that are just emerging to be able to do real-time monitoring of the health status of an individual. But in reality, a lot of these devices have not been developed yet. But you can imagine that we can begin to monitor the microbiome in real time. You can imagine that we're going to monitor thousands of molecules at once on a given person in real time. These are the kind of solutions that only can be developed with an engineering program. So what we're proposing is essentially that you develop get a team of engineers with applied chemists and scientists, and not to forget about the data storage, the data management. We need to have infrastructure to be able to store this kind of data. And then biologists and physicians that can interpret the data that is then stored. And certainly those two aspects require statistical analysis. So it comes back to that. And I find that very important because that's the way we're going to go forward to come up with new patient solutions. And then we'll stop here.
Okay, so that was our last slide here. Thank you. So what do we need to do to make this happen? I think clearly we need to educate a huge number of new students in a cross-disciplinary way. So it's a real novel way of educating bioinformatics students in biology, medicine, engineering, and as well as at the graduate level. So many of the themes we've already talked about. I think we need a central location where we can bring a lot of these people together to have a core group of investigators, the engineers and the computer scientists working with the clinicians and the biomedical researchers. We need application specialists in metabolomics, microbiome, bioinformatics. There's a huge need for all of these applications, and this could be a great community resource to go across many aspects across campus. And we need resources for instrumentation, computation, and device development. We have all the capabilities here. Putting the resources into it will make us stay at the head of the game. And finally, we need recruits in clinical-oriented systems biologists to take that information, make it understandable to the clinician, and the same way in metabolomics and the microbiome. We have the data. We have the knowledge. I think we need the right individuals to make it happen.
One question I have is about turnover time. So in a lot of the omics fields and imaging, 5 years after some fantastic machine has been developed, then it's obsolete and you have to move on. So have you guys thought about how to solve that in metabolomics or any omics?
Metabolomics is not as bad as in genomics, for example. Certainly there's new instruments coming out, but I know people that are using GC-MSs that were built in the 60s and they're still using it. And so they stay good for or useful for much, much, much longer. Of course, you always want the latest and best. For me, I think we can solve. It's not as high turnover. One of the things that would be really useful is the right infrastructure as well. So if you think of the amount of data that we're generating, we think of it as big data. Now, if you go and talk to Amazon and Google, this is peanuts. And yet we are struggling with dealing with this data and making correlations between all the different data sets. And so I think some different way of training of students and new people that think like Google or Amazon would require those are the kind of things that will require good solutions. And, of course, the engineering of being able to even detect these molecules in real time and such. Yeah. Wonderful.
The first one I had, I could actually repair all myself, okay? What I drive today is just a fancy advancement. Medical technology and this type of data analysis will go through the same phase. The moment there is somebody today publishing something about big data that predicts one patient better, all old programs will be thrown out and completely replaced by new ones. It's part of the iteration process, right? It's a part of the improvement process. And I think we at UCSD are in a perfect situation to do this type of stuff.
How do we work?
It can only be done with academic engineering, okay? It cannot be done by companies unless there is a real product immediately down the line, okay? That's why academic engineering has to get involved in especially the academic side of these problems, these basic science problems that Kumar, for example, puts out on that. It has to be done. Same in your field.
I would add the
iteration process, just like the atom in physics. If you look at the involvement of the atom in physics, it is one sophistication after the other one. And it's old programs immediately, especially in medical applications, the moment there's some better imaging method available, we'll throw out the old one and we'll move on to the next one. I think society demands it, and it's a way to deal, for example, with healthcare problems. It's the only way to deal with healthcare problems.
At the talk yesterday, there were billions of dollars being put into the genomics, proteomics space for cancer technology. And that's required to make those things happen. The nice thing about metabolomics is these are small molecules. They're fairly easy to measure, very quantitative, and we're talking in the millions of dollars. So it's much more tractable to get this done. And there are many investigators here in the audience who can attest to the fact of how much information value you can get from metabolite measurements. And it's easily linked to biostatistics, bioinformatics to go into drug discovery.
I think it's giving you the dynamic profile of the individual and hugely important. And this integration of different people, so computer science, people understand the medical problems and the biologists are not afraid of the computer science, and really embedding these people together has been remarkably successful. And I think we go from bioinformatics to systems biology to systems medicine, which is going to be defining the next number of years.